I may say that I have known, in the course of my stay in Kalimpong, very many followers of the Nyingmapa school. I've known ordinary monks of this school, as well as laymen. In fact, in Kalimpong, there was a very active lay Nyingmapa organization, which used to hold all sorts of celebrations and meetings and religious observances, and they all used to come to my own monastery very, very often. And we used to cooperate quite a lot. And I've also known a number of great Nyingmapa lamas. Perhaps it's not much use mentioning their names, as they wouldn't be known perhaps to any of you. But I have found, not only with the great lamas, but also with the ordinary monks and the lay people among the Nyingmapas, that there tends to be a very definite emphasis on the practice of meditation. Sometimes there's a little friendly sort of rivalry or even disputation between the Gelugpas and the Nyingmapas. The Gelugpas are very, very devoted to what they call debate in the very technical sense. It means that a couple of monks get together, surrounded by an audience, and they have a sort of dialectical discussion. This is all rigidly prescribed by tradition, and all the questions are out of the books of logic and accompanied by appropriate, very dramatic gestures. Now, it's very difficult to describe this. I've actually seen this done or performed or whatever you call it, and the Gelugpas are very, very devoted to it, and they spend hours, or they did spend hours in Tibet originally, in the old days, practicing these debates. And they'd go on for sometimes the whole day or even for several days, and it was one of their favorite methods also of examination. But the Nyingmapas profess to regard all this as rather childish. And the Nyingmapas say that one should spend more time for meditation. Their emphasis is there. The Gelugpas, of course, don't allow matters to rest there. The Gelugpas say, well, the Nyingmapas are always talking about meditation, but we people just quietly carry on and do it. Without making any fuss or bother. But if one takes an objective view, one may say that the Nyingmapas do not only emphasize meditation, but are probably more devoted to it in practice than the Gelugpas. I've also noticed in the course of my own contact with them, my own experience, that Nyingmapa lamas tends to be very spontaneous. If you meet a Gelugpa lama and you ask him a question, he's almost certain, in 9 cases out of 10, to refer to the appropriate page in Tsongkhapa's writings. He'll say, well, Tsongkhapa, Jetsun Tsongkhapa, in such and such book, on such and such page, he says this. So the Gelugpa tends to answer you out of the book. He tends to stick to tradition rather strictly. But the Nyingmapa, not so. They are also very learned, but without pedantry. And if you ask a question, they'll more likely than not answer directly out of their own experience. And there are some Nyingmapa lamas who I know from my personal contact with them are entirely guided by what comes to them in their meditation. So if they're meditating in the early morning and it comes to them that they just go off and see somebody maybe 100 or even 500 miles away, as soon as they come out of their meditation, well, off they go. That's that. Or it may come to them one day in their meditation that there ought to be a big puja the next week. So next week there's a big puja. They tend to be guided more by their inner inspiration, and they tend to speak much more out of this inner inspiration than the Gelugpas. The Gelugpas would tend to regard this as a bit presumptuous. They tend to prefer to rely on the book. I remember once in this connection, one of my own Nyingmapa teachers was staying with me in Kalimpong, in my own monastery, and one morning at breakfast he said to me, what do you think I saw in my meditation this morning? So I said, I don't know, please tell me. He said, I saw in my meditation the roof of your monastery. And he said, on it there was a great banner of victory. He said, we must get one put up. So for the next week we were busy going to the bazaar, buying cloth of various colours and ordering a carpenter to make the necessary wooden base, and at the end of the week we hoisted it up onto the roof, and there it was. It was an enormous, elaborate affair, about 6 foot high. There were all sorts of flounces of coloured silk, surmounted by a golden dharma chakra, I hope it's all still intact. But this was put there, and this is the interesting point, because he'd seen it in his meditation. And he told me subsequently that every morning when he sat and meditated, he'd see in his meditation who would be coming to him during the day. So the implication was that he was ready.